And the first, very, very first thing to do the eviction is they have to give them a written notice, a 72-hour notice to vacate the premises. That has to be either handed to them or taped to the door of the residence. And I have seen cases dismissed because the landlord did not give the 72-hour notice, or they had no proof that they gave the 72-hour notice. You know, if they don't hand it to them personally and don't have a witness, if they tape it on the door, everybody's got a cell phone with a camera. Take a picture of it on the
door.
Exactly
what we do. Tape it to the door and take a picture, because it also, you can tell, it'll show if you take a picture with your cell phone, it tells the time you put it on the front door.
Exactly. And, you know, that term, you know, I said 72 hours. If they have a written lease agreement, the written lease agreement can actually make it less than the 72 hours. Yeah. And on any mortgage.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. If the written lease agreement agrees to a shorter term of notice to vacate, then they can actually do that. Now, there is on manufactured housing, there's a 30-day notice to vacate. And on any...
Hey, Randy, I got a question. I'm ignorant on this. Why is manufactured housing so different?
A lot of times, you're not just evicting the tenants out of the mobile home. They are actually evicting the mobile home because it's parked on a lot belonging to the landlord. And that is a long, lengthy process. So to give them 30 days to find transportation for the mobile home, because, you know, they have to go through all the DOT regulations for transport on the highway, and it's a lot of details there.
I never even thought about that. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And any foreclosures or anything like that where courthouse sales, foreclosures, where the property is taken over by a new owner, they also have to give the tenants 30 days notice to vacate instead of 72. So if it's a foreclosure, it's 30 days. But any other 72 hours, unless dictated shorter by that lease agreement, written lease agreement.
Wow. Okay, so as a landlord, you've written your notice out, you've put in an envelope, you've handed it to them, or you've taped it on the front door, and you've taken a picture to prove you've taken it, or you've taken a witness with you to say you've taped it to the front door.
Yes.
What's next?
The next step is you go to the Justice Peace Court in the precinct where the property is located. That's one of the laws that
after
the 72 hours. On the fourth day, go to the JP in the precinct. And the venue has to be in the precinct where the property is located.
And will they have a time already set, or how does that work?
Yes, there's already a set time by statute, because they designed that so that they could get the property back into the possession of the owner on a quicker basis, where they're not losing money. Because every day that they're not renting that property out and collecting money, they're losing money. So when they file it, the clerks of the court must set a hearing date.
Let me back up. Okay, so in that notice we put on there, it says when they have a court date, or how does
No, that, the notice y'all put on there just gives them notice to vacate. Okay. When you go in to file it with the court, then the court...
Okay, so we go to the court after the 72 hours, and then we file some with the secretary there?
You file it with the clerk.
Okay.
It's an eviction lawsuit, or as it's known under legal terms, forcible entry and detainer.
Okay.
And that lawsuit is filed. They pay the filing fees, and they pay the service fees. Now, if there is more than one person named as an obligator on the lease, every person that's named as an obligator on the lease has to be served paper. Now, some landlords want to take a shortcut, and they'll serve – they may have three people, but they'll only serve one person on lease. Well, that's the only person that's going to get kicked out. So everybody that's named on that lease as obligating to pay – has to be served that.
We've gone down and we've filed the papers, and then we actually did it right. We've got all the people that are the tenants are in there. And are they going to tell us a court date then?
They are going to tell you the court date the moment you file it. They have to set a court date no less than 10 days from then, and no more than 21 days. So
wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, between 10 and 21 days. That gives the constables time to serve the paperwork, because we have to have the paperwork either posted on the door in alternate service or in the people's hands no more than 6 days prior to the hearing date. So that gives them a full 6 days to answer. So that's why 10 to 21. It used to be 7 to 10, and that just did not give enough time for the constables to serve at some time. They had to reissue a new court date. So here it works a lot better. We have plenty of time to serve it, get it in the people's hands. The court date is set, so the landlord knows when it's going to be. The tenants, some show up, some don't. Some will come in and try to say, well, I didn't pay the rent like I gave the example for because they didn't fix this. Well, the judge has to say, well, we can't hear that. The only thing we can hear is whether you paid the rent or not. Did you pay the rent? No. Well, then I have no obligation than to grant the eviction. And once the eviction is granted on that hearing date, they will have 5 days to vacate the property. So say, for example, you go in on a Tuesday. A lot of eviction hearings happen on Tuesday. So 5 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 5 days. So on the sixth day, they can come in and get what is known as a writ of possession. That is a court order that directs the constable to remove the people from the property and have their belongings placed on the curbside.
How does that happen?
How that happens is once we get that writ of possession, we have these big yellow fluorescent placards that gives them 24-hour notice to vacate. We have to give them a notice at least 24 hours in advance. And we will post a date and time and it says at this date or time thereafter, we can come in and remove you and your property. So anytime thereafter. We're not going to post at September 2nd, 9 a.m., and show up at September 2nd, 9 a.m., just for safety reasons. A lot of times we're dealing with drug dealers and things like that in these properties, so for safety, we come in multiple officers. And so it says September 2nd, 9 a.m. We may show up September 3rd at 1:30 p.m. It's any time after that time. It's just the element of surprise on our part, and then we're going to go in, make entry to the residence. That's one of the civil laws that does give us authority to use reasonable force to enter a residence. We are going to safely remove everybody from the residence, make sure there's nobody there, make sure there's no weapons, make sure everything is safe, and then we are going to keep the peace while the landlord and their movers move everything to the curbside.
Okay, and then so you have all this stuff just sitting in front of a house. So how long does it sit there?
Well, the law says the landlord has to leave it there a reasonable amount of time for them to come back and pick it up. Unfortunately, it does not say what a reasonable amount of time is, nor do we have any case law from the Supreme Court, Texas Supreme Court, on the books that says what a reasonable amount of time is. Most attorneys will say leave it 24 hours.
Okay, as a landlord or as a property manager, what if somebody comes by and steals it?
Once it gets put on the curb and the constables leave and the landlord leaves, we are not responsible for that person's property.
We being?
The landlord, okay. And the officers.
And the property manager?
And the property manager.
Okay.
Yeah. Anybody in that process is not responsible for the person's property once the house has been cleared, once it's on the curb, and everybody leaves. That is the responsibility of the owner of those belongings, not anyone else's.
Okay. And I'm going to change a little bit. We're talking about houses now.
Yes.
And, you know, I've seen on TV and I watched it a little bit. And I know because I personally own some storage units. Mm-hmm. And I will admit they're not the best storage units in the world because every time a storm comes through, I think the storm says, oh, let's go tear up Scott's storage units. Mm-hmm. And the people that, and I have some that, you know, you go after, like they don't pay, and they're like 6 months old. And there's a different process, you know, we have to do on storage units, I know. Mm-hmm. And then you put a lock on, then you cut it off and blah. You know, it's called storage wars or, you know,
yes, what I've seen on TV.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they cut the locks and they bid on them and, you know, and then people find these treasures that are worth $1 billion. Mm-hmm. That's not true.